Mr. Bart. To Kill a Mockingbird.
Welcome back to the To Kill a Mockingbird podcast for Chapter 16. This is the Us versus Them chapter. The issue of Us versus Them is most explicit when Aunt Alexandra makes the comment of, hey, don't talk about prejudice or racism in front of them, because the black people can't know about racism or prejudice, which is kind of ironic or humorous, if you will, because they know it more than she does. They experience it every day. The town's view of Dolphus Raymond is that he has muddied the dividing lines by choosing to live with them. But of course, he's a drunk and can't be expected to see what he has done by creating mixed children. The town does not hate Raymond. Their attitude is just basically, he does what he does and we're going to look down upon him. So that's kind of an interesting character to analyze, especially for those of you who have prejudice. That would be geared towards your DJs. Jem has problems with Us versus Them. And the problem is more admirable, but it's just as bad. He believes that if you're not for us, you're against us. So if you're not agreeing with what I'm seeing, then you're against what I'm seeing. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's either black or white, no gray. Atticus tries to explain that Mr. Cunningham was ready to kill Atticus the night before, that he has blind spots like the rest of us. And it's kind of hard for Jem to grasp that Cunningham has blind spots like the rest of us, because he doesn't think he has any blind spots. And he doesn't buy that, so when he learns much later that Atticus has allowed mob members to serve on the jury, he's confused. Well, wait a minute, how can these bad people who try to, you know, hurt Atticus, who talk down upon him, how can Atticus let them be in the jury? Lee's point, it seems, though, is that all such simple divisions are false. And you gotta remember, a small town, not many people to go to, and everyone he goes to in this small town is going to be just like that. One of the things you want to notice in this chapter is the motive of education. Scout is learning, like earlier in the actual school place and the home learning she had. Now she's learning about the courtroom and learning about the court cases and learning about life from the situation. She parallels the Mad Dog situation with Atticus earlier to the new situation between the mob and Atticus, and this makes her cry. So consider her crying and why she's crying, and consider the parallels between the Mad Dog situation and the mob situation. Notice what she teaches herself. Aunt Alexandra is another interesting character in this chapter, and her unwillingness to acknowledge what everyone knows about Underwood's prejudice. Now, everyone knows it's prejudiced, everyone is prejudiced in their own way, but Aunt Alexandra has some of the biggest blinders of all. It's more of that of a willing blindness. She's willing herself to have this blindness. Hey, don't talk about the prejudice. It's there, okay, but don't talk about it. We're not going to see it. We're going to ignore it. If we ignore it, maybe it'll go away. So that reinforces which we already know, that much of our sense of what's socially correct concerns what we must not mention. I like the line where she says, and this is for those of you who have prejudice, that her condescension, how she's condescending them, kind of looking down upon them in the chapter. Darkies are like children. They need our protection. Darkies. That's an interesting word, very racist, if you will. But they need our protection, much like children. Well, how so? Why? Why would she say something like this? What type of prejudice is this, and what does she mean by this? Another interesting aspect of the blind spot motive, which we mentioned a little bit with Aunt Alexandra, is the moral and physical blind spots that everyone has in this novel. This may be a good point to point out to you guys about the tradition of the blind seer. Atticus's vision is literally impaired. Literally. Atticus cannot see very well. He has the thickest glasses of them all. But nearly everyone else's is figuratively impaired. So everyone else can see perfectly, but Atticus, who has the glasses, has the worst eyesight of all, can't really see. Now, that's for vision-wise. Look into the implied vision, though, the racist and the prejudiced vision. The rest of them who have these perfect eyes can't really see what's going on and can't really see the harm they're doing, whereas Atticus, who really has the worst eyes, truly does understand what's really going on. Another interesting aspect to point out of this chapter is the courtroom. Notice how the courtroom is similar to the Colosseum in Rome, or to a very carnival-like atmosphere, where everyone's coming by to gawk and watch, and even though it's a morbid case centered around rape and the possibility of death for Tom Robinson, notice how everyone comes to watch. It's the gawkers, it's the onlookers, it's the, you know, the town getting entertainment out of this, the pleasure of watching a man on trial for his life. Also look at the definition in this chapter of trash. As the children struggle with their new social boundaries, which would be the courtroom and everything that's changing on it with them, and the new aspect of adults versus kids and the mixing of those lines, the definition of trash changes and its shape is changing. Trash cannot be applied to Dolphus Raymond. After all, he's from an old family who has the roots here. We talked about roots earlier. And he owns a great deal of land, so he doesn't seem to fit into this category. Define what trash is, then. If Dolphus Raymond is not trash, then who is trash? And what is the guidelines for deciding who is trash and who is not trash? Is there white trash? Is there black trash? Who is trash, and what makes them that? Also look at the aspect of black and white, how one drop of Negro blood makes a person all black in the local view. One drop. So black and white seemingly have nothing to do with color at all. It's all about your blood lineage. Look at the mixed children. Even the mixed children of the Dolphus Raymond. Okay, it's surprising to Scout and the way that the town treats them. She asks the question, well, how can you tell if someone is black or not, if it doesn't go by just color and view? And she's told that you have to know already before you can know for sure. That's a really, really strange explanation, that you have to know already before you know for sure. The discussion of prejudice in this chapter is huge in this chapter. The courage to address the race issue from Scout, it's another one for courage. Growing up, one of the things about growing up is realizing that we're all different. One of the things of growing up is the blind spots, realizing those. And maybe the growing up and the definition of the word trash. How do grown-ups see it versus the children seeing it? Maybe the difference of growing up and grown-up views versus childish views towards Dolphus Raymond. So don't always just get stuck on the growing up. It has to be a process of growing up, but also maybe in some of these chapters, a comparison of grown-ups versus the kids and their different viewpoints. That also constitute a growing up theme. Thank you for your time once again, and if you have questions, please call in. I will be posting chapter 17 and 18 together in the next podcast, so please look ahead for those. Thank you, and have a good night.
Mr. Barnes. To Kill a Mockingbird.